Hi, sexy listeners. I'm Dr. Tammy. Welcome to The Trouble with Sex. I'm so excited today. We have such a great guest. Let me introduce you to Susan Wenzel. She's a certified sex therapist, a relationship expert, and psychotherapist with over 10 years of experience working with individuals and couples, as well as leading seminars and workshops in the U.S. and Canada. And the reason why I wanted to have her on today is because she's the author of A Happy Life in an Open Relationship, A Guide to Healthy and Fulfilling Non-Monogamous Love Life. And you're going to hear more about her and her experience, both personally and professionally. And we're going to talk about her and her book. She's been featured in the New York Times Magazine, the New York Post, O Magazine, which is Oprah Winfrey's magazine, Men's Health, Business Insider, and more. I want to talk to you about lube, because what's sexier than lube? And you probably can't see me, but I actually used Uber Lube today on my hair. There is nothing better than Uber Lube to put on my really crunchy, blonde, burnt out hair. It makes it super soft. I'm not even kidding. They're not even paying me to say that. I get asked about lubricants a lot, and Uber Lube is really one of my all-time favorites. I'm looking at my producer and the engineer, and he's like, thumbs up, man, your hair looks awesome. Uber Lube, it's really simple. It's silky. It's smooth. It's not sticky. You can use it like all over your body, including your hair. And what it doesn't have in it, it's even better. There's no parabens. There's no glycerin. There's no scent or taste. It lets you feel like there's absolutely nothing between you and your ultimate pleasure. So go to uberlube.com and use the promo code Dr. Tammy, and you'll get 10% off plus free shipping anywhere in the U.S. So that's uberlube, uberlube.com, the promo code Dr. Tammy, because feeling it is everything. Hi, Susan.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So tell me a little bit about you so that I know more about how you came to live this sort of alternative lifestyle, but what your background really is as far as bringing you to this place. The way that I know you is as a sex therapist and a relationship expert, but also as an author. And I know a little bit about your family history, but what is it that you think brought you to this place in your life?
Originally, I came from, as you know, Dr. Tammy, I came from Kenya. So I came to study here and I got married and started life here. And actually, I've been working with you for so long as my supervisor. You have really mentored me in so many ways, and I'm so appreciative of that. And so we have this long relationship, and I don't know if it's okay to say this online, that you did help me initially when we opened our relationship navigate. So it's so interesting to be able to come to your show and talk about some of the things that you helped me with. And now I'm able to share with other people about how you helped me and my journey. So I'm so excited to be here. But we live in Winnipeg, Canada, and I do travel in US and in Canada just to help people navigate non-monogamy. And I'm excited to share with you a little bit about it.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because we did meet because you were becoming a sex therapist and I was supervising you. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of got stuck in your relationship and you're like, wait, I just need to take like a little U-turn here and I need some coaching. Like I need to figure out how my personal life and my professional life are overlapping because I'm in a little bit of a crossroads. And so we took a little break and we did some coaching around what was going on with you in your relationship. And can we talk about that? I mean, like, what was that
Absolutely,
moment for
yeah.
you? What was that like crossroads for you?
So I don't know if you remember this. So I remember bringing even my partner to see you. So we're doing Zoom and my intention was I'm going to take him to Dr. Nelson, and Dr. Nelson would tell him to sharpen up and to stop what he's doing. I know therapists don't do that. But in that moment when jealousy was so much, I was a client. I was really a client where you're feeling so helpless and you want to hold on to anything. But I remember you told me, no one wants to be controlled. And that really resonated with me because I don't like controlling people and I don't like to be controlled. So I'm just excited about the journey I took from a therapist and also from navigating open relationship initially and now coaching me through that time and now being in a place where I can give back to people. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's so awesome. So yeah, you were in this place where your husband wanted to be more open and you were like, okay, this jealousy thing is not working for me.
Yes.
I'm like really jealous. I don't like people think that if you're in an open relationship, you don't get jealous, which is just so not true. And you were like, okay, can you just tell him like he's got to stop? This is not mm-hmm. okay. And mm-hmm. in that moment, we were talking about like, it's not really about making either of you stop anything or start mm-hmm. anything, or it's really more about being in the moment and talking about what's really happening between you, right?
Yes, it was because as now I have come to know that he came in this world to do his life and I came to in this world to do my life. And the best I know how, and hopefully we can work together and do life together, hand in hand or alongside each other without controlling each other, without wanting the other person to change so that we can be happy. And that's something that is so portrayed in my book. And I'm excited about that, to know that he's not source of my happiness, that I am source of happiness. And that's one way to deal with that jealousy. Yes, jealousy is so real in open relationship, especially in the first few years. I think it is so hard for most people, but there is a way that people can navigate it.
Yeah, it's really hard, I think, for anyone, whether you're open, closed, traditional, non-traditional, you know, or hanging from the rafters. I mean, jealousy is such a human emotion. But what you're saying is, there's a way for us to walk together without trying to control each other, which it sounds so mature when you say it. I don't know if I'm that mature, but you sound like really like so grown up.
And I would say, I think I have done a little bit of growing up. And that's what personal growth does. It really does change. I see the best gift open relationship could have given us was the personal growth. This really, and there's two parts to personal growth. There's a part where, you know, it's about you. It's about your growth. It's about knowing who you are and loving yourself so much that you're not looking to someone else for that fulfillment and happiness. And the other part is loving your partner so much that you want the very best and you want things that makes them alive and excited. And that's the maturity of it. I usually say it's closer to unconditional love, which is not, I know there's not a conditional love, but it's almost closer to that where you really want your partner to thrive in whatever makes them happy.
Yeah. I mean, to want your partner to thrive in whatever makes them happy and to put aside your own feelings of like how that might make you feel, positive or negative, that seems like really spiritually advanced to me.
It is. And it's freeing. I think it is very freeing to be able to be in that place where their happiness. And that's, I think, it's the opposite of jealousy, where you're in that state where you're really excited about their partner and you drive seeing them excited. It's not just about them, with their happiness, but also you looking and discovering who you are and your own happiness. I think that's what makes it more exciting in open relationship. It's just become, yeah, it is exciting to see that growth happen in both partners.
But like a lot of our listeners might say, but if you're going to do that, like why get married? Like what, you know, just date, like why commit? What's the point of it?
I would say actually it's the opposite, because you love someone so much that all these things, the obligation or some of the constraint of relationship, and you're so committed to that person that they don't come in between that. So I would say, some people say open relationship are not committed. I'm saying, no, they're actually more committed, because seeing someone else with your partner and still love them, that's quite a commitment. So it is the opposite of not committing. It's committing full on. So, and why commit to that? Because you want to experience this life with someone when they are full on, and hopefully they can begin that journey. And also there's supporting when someone is struggling. We can talk later with you about how do you become a better support system to your partner. But basically just begin with your journey and really growing and wanting your partner to be the best they can be.
So we're going to talk about that, because I really, I have some thoughts about that, about open monogamy and what that really means. But what do you think, and I ask this of all my guests, and what do you think is the biggest trouble with sex today? And is this the answer, or is there something else that could, you know, fix it?
It could be the answer for some people. There is something about the new energy that brings in the relationship that can be good for the relationship. And there are people who aren't wired to be non-monogamous, so they're not thriving in monogamy. So opening could be what they need, but it doesn't fix everything. I think when you open your relationship, you gotta be ready to really do the emotional work that comes around it, especially if you've struggled with insecurities and other things that the couple have really to be attentive. So it is like, yeah, it can be successful, you can thrive in it, but you gotta do some work.
So do you think the biggest trouble with sex today is that people don't do the work? Or what do you think the trouble is?
I think there are many things. One of just coming working with my clients, I think it's expectation sometimes. Some expectation gets on the way, expectation of how sex should look like. I was actually talking with one of my clients yesterday. He liked more softer, gentle sex. She likes more risque sex. But she feels she has no permission to do that. She has never explored that. So she's not fulfilled in sex life, and she resigned to saying, I don't like sex. So it was interesting to say, maybe you just don't like the sex you're having. And maybe that's the reason. Maybe as you're going on and discovering who you are and giving yourself permission to explore the sex you like, maybe that narrative can change. So sometimes maybe people do struggle because of expectation and the narratives they have with sex, and also not giving themselves permission to really do pursue sex as sexual beings.
So as a therapist, what do you tell people who are in relationships where their partner just wants like permission to have affairs? Like it's not really kind of an open relationship. I know you and I both see this kind of justification for like, oh, I just want to do what I want.
If someone is doing that, so at the end is going, I would help them discover what is the goal of your relationship. And do you like the easiness and peaceness in your relationship? Is that the word? Or do you like all this dysfunction? What are you doing to help that? What are you doing to live in an environment that you feel loved and your partner feel loved and feel you're working together? So are your actions contributing to that or not contributing to that? So I want to know what is their goal in their relationship.
So, you know, one of the questions I'm sure that people have is like, okay, so like, what do you say? So, I want to open my relationship. I kind of want to do it, but I'm afraid my partner's going to be like, no way in hell are we doing that. So get out. Like, if you want that, you can like hit the road and there's no way. Or like, how do you even bring up the conversation? What would you tell people? How did you do it? How did you and your partner do it?
How we did it, I remember very good. We did it when our relationship was so good. And I think maybe that's the approach I would recommend first, maybe because it's familiar to me. And that's how my partner initiated it. When we were in a good place, it was so important that he did that, because then I didn't have this story that maybe you are opening a relationship because you're not happy with us. You're not happy with me. So I know that was not the case, because I knew he was happy in our relationship with us. And that helped me separate. This has nothing to do with me. This is more him, his journey, where he is. So I would recommend to people, maybe when you're fighting in the middle of fight, it's not the right time to say, by the way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I can't stand you. And by the way, I think we should open our relationship. Sounds like a good plan. I really think it doesn't work if you're doing it to try to fix things, right? It works if you're doing it to expand on what's already working. If it can help both of you somehow, if it brings something positive to both of you. I mean, do you feel like it has to be equal? I mean, it seems like maybe some days it's good for you and some days it's good for him, but it's very rare like the trains are on the same tracks at the same time.
Yeah, that you brought up a very good point, that it is difficult to be in the same page when you're doing open relationship, because one person can, maybe they're already seeing someone or they have a friend that they know there'll be an easy transition to it. Someone else is just beginning to catch up with this idea. So I think it's okay to be open. Sometimes there's times where I would go for 2 years. I haven't seen somebody, especially when I was writing my book. I was so busy and my energy was not in that way. Now I've done my book and I have all this time. It's like, yeah, I'm in a good place where my partner is focusing on other things in life. So I think mostly is having that permission, that we have permission to be able to explore and pursue this area, and it's okay to be in a different, right? I think so.
So how do you ask your partner, like, if it's okay to, like, start dating someone? Do you guys have a rule? Do you, like, talk about boundaries? Do you have a conversation? Do you sit down and go, oh, like, I saw this really hot person in the coffee shop? And, like, how do you do it?
Even if I saw someone who I'm so attracted, if I was in that place, I would really fast attend to my partner so that if I introduce that topic, it doesn't feel, it's less threatening.
Okay, so what you're saying is, first I bring home flowers, I make him dinner, I give him a massage, and then I tell him, so I met this really hot person at the coffee shop.
And tell them how awesome they are, that you're not thinking of living there, but yes, you do want to see someone else.
Okay, so I'd like to go out Friday night, but I still love you.
That could, in some ways, says, hey, okay. And I think those are, we're talking about now boundaries and communicating, and to be able to say, hey, I really want to go out on Friday, and I know it may be difficult for you. Can we do something on Saturday? Because you really matter to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, most of my listeners know that I wrote the book, The New Monogamy, mm-hmm. which you very kindly yes. talk about in your book. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. But I'm writing a new book called Open Monogamy. So open monogamy is when you have, I think, what you guys have, which is a primary or central relationship. Mm-hmm. And then you have a fluid, flexible sort of relationship agreement where you can define it any way you want with other people. But the mm-hmm. idea is that, you know, you still have this sort of central relationship that's important to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so what I found in my own sort of anecdotal research is that people have a certain amount of resources in their relationship. They have time, attention, affection, and sex. And so, you know, when people say they're jealous or it's bothering them, they're really looking for kind of what you just said. Like, if what's important to them is time, then to be able to say, well, I'm going to go spend time with this person on Friday, but then I'm going to be all yours on Saturday, and we can spend all day and all night Saturday. Or, you know, like you said, to put a lot of attention into the relationship and affection, and maybe talk about, you know, how sex gets divided amongst all the partners, like to determine what for yourself, what's really, what part of the pie is the most important and what part feels like you're not getting enough of. Once you start to feel what we always call jealousy, and I'm using air quotes, but maybe more about, you know, feeling like things are not even, like you're getting too much of the pie in a certain area and I'm not getting enough of it in another area. And, you know, what I really like about your book is that you really talk honestly about your own situation, and you also give people some real concrete ways to talk about those things. Like, how do you talk about opening up, and how do you talk about it when there's problems, and then how do you shut things down when they're not going well?
Maybe the relationship itself is working, but there's specific things in that that are not working, and you need to shut them down after negotiating, talking about them. Is it adding to a relationship? And that's more opening relationship primary. Is it adding to our relationship, or is it taking away from who we are and our relationship? This relationship, do you feel you're more committed to us as you're committed to them? Or are you more neglecting us? And that's part of what we say that a deal breaker in our relationship, negligency is a deal breaker. So that, I think that was the only deal breaker we had, is to neglect our relationship, is to break the relationship. So we made that pact that as we're exploring and enjoying life, that we're not going to neglect each other. So that seems to help.
So do you define neglect and what that means?
Neglect means, let's say, if you have a concern, I don't have to agree with you, but I can hear you, I can attend you, I can listen to you, I can see where you're coming, and I can be open to grow or open to saying I maybe negotiate with you in a certain way. And I think when your partner is more open, you tend to give away that freedom. When you see your partner is willing to act with you, thinks that you're not so, it doesn't become a power struggle. So that thing you want to hold on to, you're able to say, you know what, it's not a big deal because I know you would be open. I know that you really, really want it, that you're attentive and you're open to this. I think that do help to help, especially a partner who is struggling. It does help them to begin this journey more faster or quickly or find their way better.
Yeah. So to really validate and empathize, no matter what, that's just like good basic couples therapy skills,
yes.
Right? Like you got to be able to do this. And it's like a high level, you know, communication. It's not just, yeah. Okay, well, I'll listen to you. And then you know, when you stop talking, I'll tell you what I really think because I'm not really listening. I'm just waiting for you to stop talking. It's really communicating and really having a lot of conversations and validating and empathizing with the other person. Hold that thought and we'll be right back. Negotiating sex can sometimes be intimidating. However, if you learn to speak openly and honestly with your partner, it can actually heighten your experience of pleasure. If you can find respect between you and your relationship, then you can appreciate the importance of taking care of yourself and your health and your partner. Consent means that it's your right to say no to sex without a condom. This is part of your own personal boundaries and also taking care of your own sexuality. So for more tips and information about sexual health, you can visit uberlube.com/resources. And while you're there, you can check out their really nice, smooth, luxurious, and condom-compatible lube. So check out uberlube.com, that's uberlube.com, for sex and so much more. We have a question from our listener. Dear Dr. Tammy, I'm in an open relationship, and someone that I am sleeping with outed me to one of their children. Can you please tell me how I'm supposed to handle that and should I stay in the relationship? Thanks from Michigan. So Susan, this seems like a great question for you. You know, a lot of the people that I know that are trying to navigate the world of open relationships have a really hard time around whether they should out themselves to their friends, to their family, to their parents. And, you know, the kid thing seems really complicated.
It is. I think it's a genuine concern that people have. Coming out.
Whether a genuine concern, yeah.
It is a genuine concern completely. Whether do I come out to my coworkers, my children, our family? And what I would say, and I did struggle with that, even my clients. Now all my clients have read my book and they come and I know they know more about me. And there's that fear of what my clients think. But I do know what I think, what I have come to a place that in life, to be able to know this is when we fully accept ourselves, we trust other people would. And if it's your children, in my book, I say that you are the center of your relationship and your children surround you. So this is about you. And to be able to come out to your children and say, this is my life. You have your own life that you can do your own life. But this is where I am. And this, I feel fulfilled. I feel happy with this. I think taking ownership, and it goes away from being people pleasing, people worrying about what people are thinking of you, knowing that if this is not hurting you, and others, and it doesn't have to hurt others, it's the way they interpret it. So I'm in that place in life where I just want to do me and I want to do my life. And I would encourage people who are out there to do the same, to really know everyone do have their own life, including your children and your parent.
It's interesting because no one ever asked me, like, should we tell our children how miserable we are in our marriage? Is it appropriate to share with them that we're not having sex? Like, you know, the most important thing for kids to know about their parents is that they're happy.
Yes.
Like that makes for really healthy kids.
Yes.
And so if your kids know that you're happy, you don't really have to share any details with them about your love life.
True.
But it's really cool that if they know that you're really getting along with your partner or partners and that you're happy.
Yeah.
You know, what really is damaging for kids is when they see you miserable.
Yes.
And they can sense misery from a mile away. So I can honestly understand how Michigan's question would be based on a devastating experience, like to be outed to someone else's kid, much less your own. It's got to be confusing. And I think it has more to do with boundaries as well, like figuring out what is your red line, like the thing that you just, if that's crossed, you're just out, you're done. Like, I cannot do this. These are my values and I'm not going to be flexible around it versus your boundaries, which are like, okay, these are my personal boundaries. And, you know, there's some potential problems there if they're crossed, but there could also be some potential growth from being more flexible about them. So, you know, it's an interesting conversation, and I feel their pain around this and how devastating it is. You know, my kids sometimes wonder, like, what do you guys do when you have your friends over? Like, what's going on there? And I want to laugh because I can only imagine what they think. And it's much more fun than we're actually having.
I like that because the children are curious, especially if you bring partners at home, and our children are like that too. They're curious and they want to know. I think having that conversation with them have helped our children. And in fact, if we see someone so cute, my daughter would be like, oh, he's cute. And we just laugh about it. So we joke about it. And that conversation it's not a big deal conversation in our home. And it's so funny. And I'm also bisexual. And they talk about, they see a woman is like, oh, mom, do you find her attractive? And so I do set those boundaries. It says I'm not talking about my sex life, but we have those boundaries. We don't talk about my sex life, but I say you can ask a question in general. Say, rephrase that question as, what do people do? And then I'll answer that question. So, but there is what I feared so much, because I also feared my children will find out. It's just fear. When you come to the other side, there's so much growth. We have such a deep conversation with my kids about their sexuality, about life in general, that I would not have if I had opened that relationship. About non-monogamy, they have friends that the parents are also non-monogamous. So we're able to have this discussion openly. So it could be difficult, but it doesn't have to be difficult.
Well, once you were in the New York Times Magazine, you kind of like had no choice. You were kind of outed.
It was, and I was so scared. It was scaring in the beginning. I was so scared about what people think. But I have come to know, focus, Susan, you came in this life to do your life. As long as you're doing the best you can, that's what matters. And that's what I keep saying to myself.
So tell me what the conversation was like with your father. Like, tell me about that.
So in general, I had this conversation mostly in depth with my mother. So my mom asked questions, and my father is non-monogamous. As I said, Kenya is a polygamous country. It's a law to have multiple wives. So the idea of non-monogamy is not that new. But the idea of a woman can have another partner, that's where it comes to be tricky for them. So my mom was like, how can you manage this? How can a woman have multiple partners? So we had a great discussion with my mom saying, actually, women can navigate more, I think, better than men can do. I'm just being biased, that's all. At least that's what I told her. And she was able to see the empowerment of, you are able to explore your sexuality and who you are and still be able to create that safe net that is important to her, because that would be her concern is, what about children? What about this? What about your family? So reassuring her that my dad is monogamous, has a family, has another family, and she actually would come 1 week with my mom and 1 week with my dad. So there's that idea of, and initially it was difficult for my mom when my dad would do that. But then my mom found out there's so much she wanted to do when my dad was gone. So she started traveling with her friends. So they would travel, they would do businesses in that 1 week. So there's so much benefit that she also didn't know that she was able to have. So I'm able to connect that with her, to be able to say, since you entered in this arrangement, look, all that you have done, where before there was that belief you have to be at home and look after your husband and all that stuff. But now you're exploring life and mostly business. She's still that polygamy, but mostly things that she wanted to do in life. So I think that was reassuring for her to be able to say, when you're so not focused on the other person and start discovering who you are, you do accomplish other things in life.
That's so interesting. So interesting that you have like sort of flipped the script on the way that you experience that, you know, that polygamous lifestyle, where only men could have multiple wives.
Yes.
And now you're in a polyamorous relationship where you're kind of the gatekeeper now as the woman, where a lot of women are in polyamorous relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't happen unless the woman's like, okay, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And so for you to have that power as sort of this neo-feminist woman in this relationship with, you know, mm-hmm. multiple partners and being bisexual too. I mean, mm-hmm. you're just like the next generation. It must blow your father's mind. I mean, I can't even imagine.
I know. She doesn't say much. She probably doesn't talk much about that. But he's just curious. And even coming here, all my family is back to home. So I think in some way they have know that I would tend to do life the way I do really think is fit for me. So he doesn't talk much, but I know he, yeah. I'm not sure what much he talked about it.
How do they feel about your book? Do they make comments about it?
Again, my dad doesn't talk about that for some reason. And that also is because of generation and tradition in Kenya. Men do retreat away from, especially fathers, from personal. It's very different seeing my kids and their dad here and there back home, where even if he's going to ask, he's very serviced. So it's, how is the book going? Are you able to all those service? I hear you tell people with their bedroom stuff. So he won't even say sex life. So
bedroom stuff.
But anyway, but my dad, my mom do have come to appreciate the growth as a woman for sure. And yeah.
Wow. My father was also not monogamous, but it was not consensual. So he had multiple partners and I believe probably had multiple wives, but didn't tell my mother. So when they met, I think he was married to someone else, but he never told her. And I think they got married with her not knowing that he was married to someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a little fuzzy or foggy both about my mother's past. I'm not quite sure what happened. And they're both dead now, so I can't get a straight story. But, you know, I think he had several wives over the years. No one really knows, like, who was legally married. I know he has a lot of kids. I have a lot of, like, half-brothers and sisters, people that I haven't met. And some of this came out, like, after he died, and they called me and said, you have to come pick up the body. And I was like, who? How did you even find me? I haven't talked to my father in decades. And they were like, well, we Googled you. And a lot of that sort of came out. And it almost comes from the same mindset of like this idea that men, you know, the certain old-fashioned mindset of men being entitled to multiple relationships, but being entitled to tell women that they can't have that, or expect an expectation that they'll be monogamous, or, you know, it's changed so much from generation to generation. But there's still a lot of judgment around women being sexual beings, being open, wanting to be polyamorous, wanting to be empowered around this idea. And because sometimes people feel like, well, your husband's just taking advantage of you. He's doing what he wants and getting what he wants. And, you know, he's getting a wife and girlfriends. And how would you answer that if people were making assumptions about you? What would you say to them?
And I have seen that judgment. I think also that judgment comes also from men, but also for women too. And they come from women probably because that's what they have been taught. And mm-hmm. So there's the idea of, do we even have permission? Or this doesn't, one person told me it's not natural for a woman to have a multiple partner.
Wow.
But it's natural for men because that's the way they're born. So, and they were very convinced in the idea of that. But I do know, I think I just know my truth. I think instead of arguing with them, I just know my truth and go back to, that's okay, you think that, or can I tell you about my truth? Mm. And my truth is that I know I'm happy, that I know I can never get this. I know when I meet people, I give them the best they are, and they love being with me, and I love being with them. And I think that we're thriving in life. That's the truth.
I have another question from a listener. Jack in Ohio says, how do you end an open relationship if it's not going well?
As a primary or with other people that you're seeing?
I don't know. I don't know what Jack's curious about. Maybe you can answer both.
I would say if let's say a primary relationship that is an open relationship is not going well, let's say someone is really hardwired to be monogamous and there's no way they've done all the growth, they have really, really tried, and it just doesn't feel right for them. Where the other one feels that this is the way they are. Like any other relationship that comes to an end. I think they, when we think of open relationship and polyamory, sometimes we can put too much expectation that it has to work. Well, monogamy is not working. More than 50% of people are divorced. So having any expectation on a relationship that would work, it's really not realistic. And if with other people, let's say your primary relationship is working, but you're seeing other people and those relationships are coming to an end. And I have had gone through grieving moments from the relationship that I really loved, my open relationship with other people, others lover that I really loved, and they came to an end. And it's a huge loss because you deeply care about these people. And I have a mantra that I go with. And my mantra is, some people will come in my life for a short time and others for a long time. And I allowing myself to end this relationship, I think it does help. Saying it was good, but it's coming to an end and that's okay. And grieving those moments. I remember my partner once, I was crying to him. I was like, he would consult me at night when a relationship ended, and doing the grief work together and then healing and going back again and exploring other relationships. And that's part of life.
So Susan, if Jack from Ohio doesn't want to do it anymore, but they're partner still does, if he goes back and says, you know, I'm done with this, and she's like, oh no, I'm not done, definitely not, like, how do they handle that?
I would say first is being patient, and maybe someone can have said, no, Susan, we've been on this for so long, and it's really, there's no movement, there's no change, we're not changing, or there's no growth. But if that's not the case, your partner is saying no now, it doesn't mean tomorrow or next year they won't say yes. So patient, I really do, because my partner, I really was struggled when my partner initiated open relationship for months. I think it was almost 8 or 9 months when I began really work. And I'm a sex therapist, so I'm doing a lot of work. I'm doing a lot of personal growth. And it still took a long time even to be in a place where I can entertain that idea. So working with your partner and going back to it, knowing it's better we take this step and slowly work towards that than just rushing to something that is good, only later on to discover if I waited a little bit, maybe it would have worked. So patient works, knowing that the triggers you have today doesn't mean you have them tomorrow. Do I see you growing? Are you doing something to really make that movement? And if you are, maybe you would perceive your problem or perceive problem differently. So I would say patient, work with your partner the best you know how and as much as you can. And sometimes you may really discover that it's time to end the relationship. But I'm so glad that my partner did not give up on me, Tammy, because where I am right now, I'm much better. I'm so glad that he was patient with me.
Yeah, and I would just add that, you know, I think like any good relationship agreement, whether it's a business agreement or a romantic relationship, I think you got to really iron this stuff out before you start. Huh? So if you have an agreement that, look, if one of us is not happy, then both of us are not happy. Then one of us wants to end, then we both have to end. Or if I don't like one of your partners and we have to agree that that's not going to work for either of us, or, you know, we have to have real clear boundaries that we're not going to do it with anyone from work, or you're not going to do it with a friend, or it's not going to last more than a month, or it's only sex, it's not romance, or it's only romance and not just sex. Or I think you have to be really concrete and clear about what the rules are for each of you that work. And that's not to say that you have to give rules to your partner, because rules are meant to be broken. And so the more rules you give to each other, the more the likelihood is that, you know, that illicitness and forbiddenness actually makes it kind of intriguing. So you don't want to like lay down the law for each other, but you do want to have conversations about what's going to work and what happens if it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, so for Jack in Ohio to go back to the conversation that you had in the beginning and talk about how you're feeling now that it's not working for you. What I've found with heterosexual couples that want to open their relationship, a lot of times it's the guy who's like, yeah, let's do it, let's do it. And by the time the woman gives in, if she's somewhat reluctant in the beginning, she starts to enjoy it. And then his train is on the track much further down the road, and he's kind of done. And she's like, oh, I'm not done. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting into it. And he's like, but I tried it, and I'm done. And she's like, nope. And so that's not an uncommon experience. It sounds like I'm kind of like not being gender neutral, but that's been my experience in my psychotherapy practice. And now, you know, keep in mind that it's a self-selected population. Like, people are only coming to see me when it doesn't work, mm-hmm. or in the very beginning when they're trying to make it work. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people out there like Dr. Susan who is trying to manage her successful open relationship while writing books and taking care of her family, who are doing just fine. And managing that kind of complex depth to a relationship takes a high level of communication.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with before we end, like any last advice or encouraging words? What would you want to say to people?
I would say, like any relationship, and I know what you just mentioned is so important, boundaries. Boundaries are so important, especially in the beginning of the relationship, because I think the more you grow in it and the more you're in a good place and it's working for a while, some of boundaries just happen. It's not even spoken. It's just you know each other rhythm. But before you get to know that rhythm with each other in the relationship, it's very important to have those clear boundaries with your partner. Having said that, I think in my own life, I know the more I moved into personal growth and knowing who I am, the happier I am not micromanaging my partner. The more I micromanage, the more unhappy I become. So I really would tell the listener, more than pursuing those boundaries are okay in the beginning, but maybe pursue something a little bit more higher, which is personal growth. Because I do know even if this relationship doesn't work, that I will be happy somewhere else. But that's the confidence I have in me. So then that knowing allows me to not micromanage and therefore you become more happy in general. So if I can leave people is, if you are really struggling with an relationship, stepping away from it, not the actual, it's stepping away from putting your attention to it and focusing on more on your growth. The more you grow, your perspective will change.
Good advice. So focus less on the actual open relationship and more just on your own personal growth and self-care and what you're doing for your for your own life. Yeah.
Yes.
Less on micromanaging your partner, going through their phone, checking their email, and telling them what they can or cannot do. That seems like good advice.
Yeah.
And then I just have one more personal question to ask you before we end. Is it hard for you as a therapist to like meet people and find other people who are in open relationships?
I think a little bit it is, especially for people that we know, but I do go online and find people, that don't know me. I do have a profile for me and say I'm married, I'm in open relationship, monogamy is not the only pathway to happiness. So I'm very clear of what I'm looking for. And I actually even have my picture there.
Oh, good for you. This is not a dating site for Susan Wenzel, by the way.
It's not.
She's busy enough. Well, Susan, thank you so much. Tell people how they can find you and your book and learn more about your relationship coaching and sex therapy.
They can find me on website at susanwenzel.ca.
So Susan, S-U-S-A-N, Wenzel, W-E-N-Z-E-L.ca for Canada.
Yes.
And thank you so much for joining us. To all you sexy people, thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for letting us turn you on. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Dr. Tammy. Until next time. Have a question about your relationship, your sex life, or sexual wellness? Visit thetroublewithsex.com and click on Ask Dr. Tammy to send me your question. For sex positive tips, live events, and updates, join my mailing list and follow us at The Trouble with Sex on Instagram. The Trouble with Sex is produced by Brandy Savitt and Jane Applegate. Our audio is designed by Flavor Lab, New York City. This episode was engineered by Kevin Jarvis at Sonic Boom Room in Venice, California, and mixed by Eric Stern. Music by Bruce Hirschfield.